Okay. You know, you remember last night what we had talked about in this great crowd of witnesses and our struggle against sin, that we've not yet resisted to the point of shedding our blood. And we were talking about in that sacrifice, you know, Jesus entered in by his own blood. He's not like the priests of men who entered in by animals' blood. He entered in by his own blood. He entered in, he was not only the priest, but he was also the sacrifice. And we who are called to that priesthood through Christ are also called to lay down ourselves as sacrifices. That's how a priest tends the altar. He himself becomes the sacrifice. Everybody remember that? And we were talking about, in struggling against sin, when we come into trials, into persecutions, remember, all these are the Lord's discipline. And everyone he receives as a son, he punishes or he scourges. And we're told to endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. If you reject the Lord's discipline, in other words, one of the ways that you would reject the Lord's discipline is if you returned evil for evil. If somebody, you know, quit looking at men as doing these things to you and look at the influence at work. And as we talked about, it really doesn't matter if it's God or the devil. The fact is, there are influences working through people. And if you return evil for evil, it's like rejecting the Lord's discipline. It's like rejecting God's discipline. It's like turning against your father when he goes to punish you. How many of us would do that? Rebel against our father when he goes to punish us. And if you're not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, he says, then you're illegitimate children and not true sons. And this is all about, you know, submitting ourselves. Yeah, a lot these days. And it talks about disobedient children in this context, doesn't it? No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness. Now, he goes on to tell us to make every effort to live at peace with all men. And this has to do with where that persecution is. To be holy. Without holiness, no one will see God. See to it that no one misses the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. And, you know, bitter roots, let me tell you a secret here. Bitter roots grow up when you hold grudges against people. You've got to realize you're not fighting people. People are not your enemies, and I don't care how evil they seem. It's not the people that are your enemies. They may make themselves enemies of the cross of Christ, but they themselves are not your enemies. The powers you're wrestling against is powers and principalities and darkness in high places. Right? If you hold a root of bitterness, trust me, nobody holds a root of bitterness against something that they can't see, because it takes faith. Right? If you're holding a root of bitterness, it's against a person. And this is why he tells us, see to it that you don't let any bitter root grow up among you, and also that no one is sexually immoral or is godless like Esau. In all of these things, you're not just dealing with people, you're dealing with influences and spirits and so forth, aren't you? You've got to realize that there's such thing as a spirit of lust, and there's a spirit of wrath, and there's a spirit. These things are real. And they long to be able to express themselves through your flesh. Don't let them do it. They're spirits of bitterness. Don't let that grow up in you, right? There's no repentance according to the flesh, so don't try to deal with these things according to the flesh and overcome them in a fleshly way. The flesh is rejected, just like Esau, right? All right, so as we go through all this, let's get to the point. I want you to notice how this turns back to the main point of what we've been talking about in the whole of the book of Hebrews, from chapter 1, where we established the superiority of Christ to Adam and to angels as the first in all of God's creation, you know, as a man who pleased God according to the Spirit. That comparison between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant, and between the priesthood of Melchizedek and the priesthood of Levi, has went through the whole of the book, And we've established that Jesus is that priest in the order of Melchizedek, the high priest and the apostle of our faith. Now we come back to it. All of these things are designed, that we see in the book of Hebrews, about preparing a priesthood. And it is the priesthood of Melchizedek under Jesus, our high priest. We're called to be priests of heaven. Priests and kings. Right? And so it says, you've not come to a mountain, verse 18, that can be touched and that is burning with fire. You have not come to a mountain that can be touched and that is burning with fire, to darkness, gloom, and storm, to a trumpet blast, or to such a voice speaking words that those who heard it begged no further word be spoken to them, because they could not bear what was commanded. If even an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned. The sight was so terrible, so terrifying, that Moses said, I am trembling with fear. But you come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. Now, this tells you where your priesthood is. Remember, there's men on earth already prescribed to be priests, and that's Levi. The priesthood of Melchizedek is a heavenly priesthood, and this is your heavenly calling. You've come to Mount Zion, to heavenly Jerusalem, to the city of the living God. Remember, even the priests of Levi were under the wrath that we see pictured against all flesh in that first mountain. Right? That first mountain could not be touched because it represented the things that you were too unclean in the flesh. Right? It's burning with fire, wrath for all flesh, and destruction with all flesh. Destruction, gloom, and storm, which talks about the end of all flesh, the doom of all flesh. To a trumpet blast, or to such a voice speaking words that those who heard it begged no further word could be spoken to them. See, all of that carries the wrath of God against flesh. How many of you see that? That even the priests who were appointed, even Moses, and according to the flesh, trembled with fear. That's not the mountain we're called to now. Right? That was only the picture. And it shows in that picture that all those under the, that, you know, are of the flesh, are under that judgment and fear and everything else, right? Even if an animal touches the mountain, and there's a big figure here, even if an animal touched that mountain, it had to be stoned. What does that picture to you? It pictures the flesh, because the flesh without the spirit is nothing more than an animal. You hear me? The flesh without the spirit, if it's just living according to the flesh, remember what it says about those people who reject the truth and who slander celestial beings? Remember what it said about them? They're like brute beasts meant for nothing other than to be caught and destroyed. That's why it says that even if an animal touched the mountain, it must be stoned. The sight was so terrifying that Moses says, I'm trembling with fear. And there is nothing but fear. And we see the same thing in Esau, remember? He wanted to inherit the blessing, but he was rejected because he's a picture of the flesh. Jacob I have loved, Esau I have hated. He was rejected. He could bring about no change of mind. In other words, no repentance. He could bring about no repentance from his father to give him that blessing. Could he? Because there is no repentance for the flesh. The flesh has to die. Adam has to go under the grave. Only Christ comes out. And you may die and go down to the grave with Adam, but you come up with Christ. Right? He could bring about no change of mind, no repentance from his father, though he sought the blessing with tears. See, all of this, and that, you know, and right behind it says, you've not come to a mountain that can be touched, and that is burning with fire, to darkness, gloom, and storm. We've not come to wrath, is the point. We're not appointed to that wrath, because we're no longer of this earth. And it shows our priesthood is of that heavenly city. It shows that our life is of that heavenly city. You've come to Mount Zion, verse 22, to the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. You've come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You come to God, the judge of all men, and to the spirits of righteous men made perfect. Get it? Made perfect. Through the author and finisher of our faith, Jesus, right? to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks better word than the blood of Abel. Because that sprinkled blood, let me tell you what it is. That sprinkled blood, in that is the whole, is that's how the Holy Spirit is pictured. The life is in the blood. The blood of animals could only be a dark picture. But the blood of Jesus, God's dear Son, talks about the very nature of God sprinkled in your heart. Right? Remember where it says in Romans 5 that His love was shed abroad. His nature, agape, was shed abroad in your heart. And that sprinkling, the idea of sprinkling is that a drop falls here and it doesn't cover everything, does it? It doesn't fall on this one, it doesn't fall on this one. But just like the rain drops, one rain drops hits here and one hits here and it's here. That's what sprinkling does. Sprinkle, get it? Can you see how that is with the Spirit? Not everybody, not all men receive the Spirit. This is the sprinkling of righteousness. It is the sprinkling of the blood of Christ because it speaks about the nature that is of heaven and not from down here. Right? You come to God, the judge of all men, to the spirits of righteous men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. See to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. See, and there is no excuse. It's different having the law in stone on the outside of you. To remind you what sin is, but the embodiment of the law, the Holy Ghost, the author of the law, living in you. That is the law written upon your heart. So see, you do not refuse him who speaks. It's in you now. Through faith, right? If they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, in other words, everybody dies according to the flesh. Right? Everybody dies according to the flesh. And the law is the judgment that all flesh must die, right? And if they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, how much less will we if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven? See, all of this is about the changeover from one priesthood to the other, from one reality to the other, from the physical to the spiritual, from one covenant to the other. At that time, his voice shook the earth. And now he's promised once more, I'll shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. The words once more indicate the removing of what can be shaken. That is created things. You see now the context about how there was no repentance for Esau and how you didn't come to a mountain that holds nothing but judgment for you? Because the judgment is this creation must pass away, isn't it? The judgment is the physical must be destroyed. So what's going to be removed? The words once more indicate that the removing of what can be shaken, that is created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Wow. There's a whole figure, and I'm not going to get into all this now, but there's a whole figure of the way that fire consumes things physical. Right? And the souls of those who are consumed by the judgment of God, the destruction that is forever and eternal. There's a figure here. And we need to begin to understand that the physical destruction of all of these things is a picture of the judgment that is eternal. For even created things that are spiritual, that do not pass go, you know, that are not up to par. Keep on loving each other as brothers. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for so by doing, some people have entertained angels without knowing it. You never know. You know what? There's men walking around right now. Look like men, act like men, talk like men. They may even seem to have some of the foibles and the problems and the habits of men. You may know them under a different name, but they're not men. You never know who it is you're talking to. You may think you do, but they're not men. The angels here are sent to minister to those who are to be descendants. descendants of Abraham, right? To those who are promised to be sons. They're sent here to serve. And they're also sent here to record. That's why it says, do not forget to entertain strangers, for so by doing, some people have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those in prison as if you were their fellow prisoners. Now, you really think about how hard that hits. Remember those in prison as if you were their fellow prisoners. Because you've got to realize you're in this together. We are all prisoners of the flesh seeking release. And those people in prison are just a picture of that. We're all criminals. Do you understand that? Do you really get that? We're all criminals imprisoned in this flesh. And we may have the promise of our day of redemption. In turn, we must bring that promise and that hope to those who are in prison. In more ways than one, right? They are our fellow prisoners. One of the ways we demonstrate who we are is by how we treat them. Because we treat them how? The way we want to be treated. How would you want to be treated as a prisoner? You want to be released. You want somebody to know that. You want to know that somebody cares for you where you're at. You want to know that somebody's looking out for your interests where you're at. Right? Isn't that what we all want? And if you want that, you know, just like if you want to be forgiven, you have to forgive. If you want to be released, if you want real release, right? Remember those in prison as if you were their fellow prisoners. Because you are. And those who are mistreated as if you yourselves are suffering. This talks so much about our connection with each other, doesn't it? These are general instructions. Marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. Keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? See, that's that whole attitude, isn't it? That we were just talking about. That whole attitude, what can man do to me? We don't hold bitterness against a man. We don't hold grudges against men. We don't get revenge upon men. Remember, there's greater powers and influences working through men. The men are not your enemy. What can man do to me? Remember what Jesus told Pilate? You have no power over me except what's given. And guess what? I don't care who persecutes you or despitefully uses you, they have no power over you other than what's given to them by the Father. Because that's who you're owned. And it's for your good. We already read, right? It's for your good that he disciplines every son he receives. Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way in life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I want you to see that verse 8 is meant to be read in chapter 7. In other words, the example will never change. It's not a standalone verse. It can stand alone. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But what he's trying to tell you is that the example doesn't change. Jesus is still the standard. Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you, consider the outcome of their way and life, and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What's that telling you? Follow those who imitate Christ, because the example does not change. There is no progressive movement to change the image. It's the same. It's the same righteousness that Jesus walked in. It'll be the same picture they portray. And that's why it says in the very next point, the reason it says this, the very next verse is, do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings. Remember, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. There's nothing strange. Nothing new. Nothing different. It is good for our hearts to be strengthened by grace, not by ceremonial foods, which are of no value to those who eat them. we have an altar. Again, that priesthood, we're still being talked to in that priesthood sense, aren't we? We have an altar from which those who minister at the tabernacle have no right to eat. Do you hear me? You want to know how to answer the law keepers? That verse right there. We have an altar. It's in heaven, right? From which those who minister at the tabernacle, the law, have no right to eat. Think about that. Isn't that what every law keeper needs to know? Isn't it? What do y'all think? The high priest carries the blood of animals into the most holy place as a sin offering from the tabernacle, right? But the bodies are burned outside the camp. And so Jesus also suffered outside the city to make the people holy through his own blood. Let us then go to him outside the camp, bearing the disgrace he bore. For we do not have an enduring city, but we're looking for the city that is to come. And you know what? Wow. Do you really hear what that says? The high priest carries the blood of animals into the most holy place as a sin offering, but the bodies are burned outside the camp. And so Jesus, who also suffered outside the city gate to make the people holy through his own blood, let us then go to him outside the camp, bearing the disgrace he bore. For here we do not have an enduring city, but we're looking for the city that is to come. And there's two points. We talked about the first point a little bit last night. The first point is that flesh is outside the camp, right? Flesh is outside the camp. But then we have a backwards mirror here. Because the literal temple of Jerusalem is also outside the camp. Why? Because we serve at an altar that those of that tabernacle cannot eat of. So by bearing the disgrace of being rejected by the camp, going outside to meet with Jesus where he was disgraced, see, we bear his disgrace in men's eyes, that shows that we're with him, right? For we don't have an enduring city here. We accept the disgrace of this world. We accept the disgrace of this world and the rejection of this world. We see the physical rejects us just like a womb spits out a child. The physical rejects us just like a womb spits out a child. It's not welcome in there anymore. That's that backwards mirror. How many of you see that? The picture of bodies being and flesh being taken set out of the camp is because the blood is holy and the flesh must be destroyed. And it pictures that. But you see, in that backwards mirror, we go outside the camp to bear Jesus' disgrace with him because we're not of this world. And that temple, while it pictures spiritual things, is not spiritual, is it? It's only physical. We eat at an altar that those of the tabernacle cannot eat from. Get it? And we are rejected by that altar of that tabernacle. Just like the law keepers reject us, right? Just like the Jews rejected Jesus. And we bear the disgrace he bore. For we do not have an enduring city here, but we're looking for a city that is to come. See, we have a place that they are going to be outside of. Remember? All the dogs and the whoremongers and all the sinners and everybody else are outside that city. Right? We're taken outside of the physical Jerusalem because we don't belong there. It's going to be destroyed. And that's what that whole thing about the mountain and Esau being rejected, right? And us receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise. Again, priests offering a sacrifice. The fruit of lips that confess his name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. Hello? Your very act of worship and love in God's nature is an act of sacrifice. Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy and not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you. Pray for us. We assure that we have a clear conscience and desire to live honorably in every way. I particularly urge you to pray so that I may be restored to you soon. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing in him. What is pleasing to him. May he work in us what is pleasing to him. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Brothers, I urge you to hear my word of exhortation, for I have written you only a short letter. I want you to know that our brother Timothy has been released. If he arrives soon, I will come with him to see you. Greet all your leaders and all God's people. Those from Italy send you greetings. Grace and peace to you all. Praise God. Awesome, isn't it? Awesome. But can you all see the point? Let me end with this. Can you see the point? From the very beginning of the book of Hebrews to the very end, we're talking about that priesthood, aren't we? And we're talking about the changing covenant, and so the change in the priesthood. We're talking about, we're not of that tabernacle, but we're of that altar that they can't eat of. Yeah, the whale spit out Jonah. Amen. The womb spits out a child. Death spit out Jesus, didn't he? Couldn't hold him. And that's what this flesh is. It's a tomb. It can't hold you. And we got to start looking at it that way, huh? Praise God. It's a good place to stop.